A players are intrinsically motivated. It comes from within. There's nothing that we can do, no matter how good we coach and mentor, there is nothing that we can do to turn somebody who is extrinsically motivated, like just showing up for a paycheck, into somebody who wants to bring their best. And A players are 900 to 1200% more productive than warm body team members. The A players want opportunities for advancement. And when we create a clear advancement path for the A players on our team, we can be highly attractive as employers of choice and lure them away from corporate America, because advancement is slow and it's a slow slog in corporate America, not in small business.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the People Processes podcast. I'm your host, Rami Alijil, and I have with me today a very special guest, a longtime friend of mine, Dr. Sabrina Starling. She is the business psychologist. She is an international best-selling author of How to Hire the Best and The 4-Week Vacation. She's a third-generation entrepreneur impacted by that hustle culture, and she's really working on transforming that story of success from long hours and grinding it out to work that supports and enhances life. And so I'm really excited to have her here, because a lot of times when we're talking about scaling and growing people operations, we're thinking tactically, we're thinking strategically. But honestly, in my realm of expertise, the CEO isn't a big part of it, or at least the owner isn't a big part of it. I think in terms of, you know, job roles and responsibilities and how we structure to motivate and to engage, and of course, to protect perhaps some of our best employees from overwork as well. Those are all processes. But I don't often think about, as a business owner, been doing this 15 years, working 60 hours a week, why that would be a problem. Because to me, that's what I signed up for, right? So Dr. Sabrina, give us a broad overview of kind of just how you came to this philosophy and what it is the business owners and executives listening, they had to take away one key thing, what they should be listening.
Absolutely, Rami. So first off, thank you for having me here. And I love your podcast, Don't HR Alone. I think that's such a great title and very much something we need to be aware of as business owners. Like, we should not be doing HR alone. You're providing great guidance, and thank you for that. So when I started my business 19 years ago, I was a psychologist and I was burning out because I had been working in a community mental health center. And I was always excited by my clients who had a little bit of entrepreneurial spirit in them. And I found myself, like, instead of doing therapy with them, doing business plans.
Sure.
And so I became aware that I had a real passion for business. And so I transitioned from psychology into life coaching. And at that time, I was living in Wyoming. And I went down to the Chamber of Commerce and I met with the executive director and I told her what I was up to. And she said, "Do you want to be a life coach in Wyoming? Interesting. We'll see how that goes. Good luck to you." But it took off. And it took off because a lot of my clients were small business owners. And they really were interested in my background in psychology for helping them with their people problems. And specifically, they wanted me to help them deal with employees who were not motivated, and that bring all your good psychology and help me get them engaged. Well, if you don't have A players, you can't engage them, because A players are intrinsically motivated. It comes from within. There's nothing that we can do, no matter how good we coach and mentor. There is nothing that we can do to turn somebody who is extrinsically motivated, like just showing up for a paycheck, into somebody who wants to bring their best. And A players are 900 to 1200% more productive than warm body team members.
Definitely.
And it is amazing what will happen on your team when you intentionally hire A players. So that's how I came to write my book, How to Hire the Best, and that series on the international best-selling series on hiring. It's the entrepreneur's ultimate guide to attracting A players. So all of that was
not to interrupt, but for those of you who are our clients, if you go through our hiring, it's literally called Guide to Hiring a Team, Hiring A Plus Team Members. A lot of it is cribbed from her book. It's right over there, along with many others. But
awesome.
We follow a very similar methodology, awesome. Much of which I learned from you over the years.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
There it is. I'm
honored on it, Rami. So all of that is unfolding, and I am really clear as my business is starting to take off that I want to be present. I want to come home at the end of the day and have something left to give for my family, because I had a infant. This was my first child. And I remembered working in the community mental health center, and I would come home every day feeling like I have nothing left to give. Like, I gave it all at the office to all the clients. They got the best of me, but my family got the worst. And so I became very intentional as I built Tap the Potential that it was going to support my life. I wanted my work to support my life, not the other way around. And so I was running a solo coaching practice, essentially, and I hired a VA. So I had some help on the administrative side, but it was essentially just me. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to build this so it supports my life, which I did. I ran the business on no more than 25 hours a week, and it was growing by 30% or more every year, leaps and bounds. And then I had to hire more team members because, you know, at some point you just can't do it all. And one of the things that I was really good at is recognizing that there are certain things in the business that are not my natural strengths and talents, and they're not the best use of my time. And I really wanted to focus on my highest value activities. And that is coaching, speaking, training, teaching. That's what I do, and writing. And so I had to get everything, I had to sweep everything off my plate that was not my highest value contribution. And I found myself constantly getting pulled back in. As soon as I would get something off my plate, something else would come on. So I developed a chart of $10,000 an hour activities. It's based on Perry Marshall's 80-20 sales and marketing. He has a chart in there, and it's designed for marketers. I thought, you know what, we small business owners, we need our own chart because we do marketing, but that's not the only thing we do. So I adapted that for small business, and I printed it out and I used it for myself. It shows the difference between a $10 an hour activity, $100, $1,000, $10,000 an hour activity. And I laminated it and I put it on the wall behind my computer monitor so that my eye constantly fell on it. And that was the biggest reminder to me when I found myself doing these low value activities that I needed to delegate. And so it became such a great tool for me for delegation. But then I saw my clients, small business owners, struggling with this too. And I thought they need. So I created this, and now I share it freely with small business owners.
That's right. And if you're listening, on the podcast or on YouTube, down at the bottom in the description, we'll have a link to that. It's an awesome tool. I've had it in my email inbox and used it for many years as well. It's a great, great thought. And so it'll be available for download. Just click on the link in the description.
Awesome. And so as my team grew and I started delegating, and I was working 25 hours a week, not all the time. Like, that is an ideal. And so there's times when I was working 40 hours a week, but then I would catch myself and I would kind of, okay, I've got to recalibrate and readjust. And I would use that chart to do that. But then as I was delegating, I realized that when you have A players on your team, they say yes to everything because they are like, yes, I want another challenge. Yes, I can do that. Yes, yes. And before you know it, they're doing all kinds of things and it has nothing to do with what they were initially hired to do. And their job description all of a sudden is very diffuse. And I just listened to your episode on accountability and expectations. And the expectations get so confusing for these A players because they're thinking, well, you told me to do this.
That's exactly.
And you told me to do this. And they don't know how to prioritize.
Your fry cook is happy to cook fries, right? They're just going to sit there and do it. You're never going to have to worry about job description drift.
Yeah.
But your right hand. Yeah. It's like, man.
They're all over the place. And so it's great for me, like I'm delegating and taking things off, but now they're feeling the burnout and the stress. And so I realized that they also need to learn how to delegate. And so I started teaching them to use this chart of $10,000 an hour activities. And it's almost become a game within Tap the Potential that if your time, and by the way, my entire team works 25 hours a week.
Really?
That is our ideal. Now, it's not perfect. We have to recalibrate a lot.
Yeah.
But we're always looking at, oh my gosh, you're doing 35 hours. Something needs to come off your plate. And then we go to the chart of $10,000 an hour activities. So we're always sweeping the lower value activities off to our entry level people or people who are new on the team. And this is creating constant opportunities for advancement. And that is what A players crave. And so when I wrote How to Hire the Best book, one of the things I really leveraged is the A players want opportunities for advancement. And when we create a clear advancement path for the A players on our team, we can be highly attractive as employers of choice and lure them away from corporate America, because advancement is slow and it's a slow slog in corporate America. Not in small business. And because you can come in entry level, I have a perfect example on my team. Melissa Kay is our lead strategist. She's since become host of the Profit by Design podcast. She's taken that off of me. She started as my EA 5 years ago now. And so, but she advanced rapidly to the role of lead strategist. And that's how cool we small business owners are when we have rapidly growing businesses. We can just give people these opportunities for advancement.
Well, let me pull you around, because I think you're given that's a great framework. And correct me if I, hit anything wrong here. But in this philosophy, step one is as an owner or executive CEO, you want to look at your work. You want to really make sure you're dealing with the highest value activities. Mm-hmm. And some of those activities it's primarily, I would expect, determined by leverage to a large degree, high leverage activities. Mm-hmm. Those are the $10,000 an hour ones. And then the non-highly leveraged activities, or the less mm-hmm. valuable ones, you delegate out.
Right.
You're a small five-person team when you start off. If you as an executive can stop doing $10 an hour activity, you're going to be making a lot more money very quickly.
Yeah.
And then you have those pieces. And because you're doing that highly leveraged activity, it's likely that your business is going to grow.
Yeah.
And then your next layer is going to move up the chart and the pieces continue to fall.
Yes. That's exactly it.
Let me do some devil's advocate, some pushback pieces, because I know you, and I know you can handle this because you've been with this forever, but
bring it on, Rami.
All right. So here I am running a tire chain shop.
Yeah.
Right. And we change tires and we do some oil changes too, but mainly we just do a bunch of tires.
Yeah.
And I need,
I have one 30... of those clients, by the way, so I'm ready for this.
I need 30 guys who can change tires well, and gals who can change tires well.
Yeah.
And every 7 or 8 of them, there needs to be like a manager guy or gal who keeps things in track. And maybe I've got a shop foreman and an assistant foreman.
Yes.
And yeah, if I grow, maybe I'll open another shop one day. But the bottom line is that the career path is 30 to two layers up, right? It's not... I don't quite understand. What I want is people who will come to work every day, not drunk, on time vaguely, and, not drop tires on people.
Right.
So how does this idea of, well, I should be teaching them how to do podcasts. I know that's not what you mean, but I'm pushing back a little bit.
Yeah.
How does that work in an environment of a lot of labor?
Yeah. So we have to understand that there are some people who have no desire to move up and manage people like that. That idea is atrocious to them. They just want to be really good technicians and be really good at what they do. And so some of this is understanding and appreciating through one-to-one conversations with your team members what their goals are and aligning what you're creating for them as a career path with who they are, what their strengths are, what their goals are. So out of every 7, and I'm just making this number up, I don't know.
Good.
It's not an exact statistic, but out of every 7, there's going to be one who wants to be a manager. And that's the person that you put on that career trajectory, and you start looking at, okay, how can I get some of these $10, $15 an hour tasks off their plate so that we can start grooming them for management and the mentoring that they need and the training that they need for that. And so then that's how this process unfolds. And what we have seen with our clients who have a lot of skilled labor is they create two separate career
trajectories. I was literally just about to say this. Yeah. In my company, that's exactly how it is. There's people come in as HR associates.
Yeah.
Some minimal level of experience or education. Those are entry-level jobs. And it's a 2 to 3 year position, mm-hmm. approximately. And then there's what we call lead knowledge consultants, mm-hmm. which are non-management, but you got to know something real good.
Yes.
And then you have the TM track, team manager, business partner, director, kind of over on that other side for the different types of people.
Yeah.
But even then, I still get pushback from that career track necessarily. When you hire the best, when you really do a lot on that side, you get a lot of ambitious people.
Sure.
I think the number one push in our company for growth, I mean, I know it is because it sure isn't me needing more clients. It's that we've got to grow fast enough to build more hire shops, more pods is what we call them.
Absolutely.
So that people have promotion opportunities.
Yes. Yeah. So it creates this momentum that comes from the team that pushes your growth. And that's the thing about A players. I always tell business owners, if you've never had A players on your team, you need to buckle your seatbelt because this is about to be a wild ride. It's not just when you hire one, it's when you start hiring two or three or four, all of a sudden, whoa, you can't keep up because they're coming with ideas. And yes, so I would strongly recommend that you have a career path for people who just want to move up in their technical skills. So maybe they're, you know, lead technician, and they're the ones when somebody with a weird tire problem comes in that you hardly ever see, like they love digging in and figuring that out. That's going to your lead technician, not your guy that you just hired 2 weeks ago. And so that's how that path gets created. But to really kind of bring this full circle for you, when I started growing Tap the Potential and realizing like, hey, my team is doing amazing here and they want more and more opportunities for advancement, I realized I had certain key responsibilities that I needed to let them enjoy and be a part of. So the podcast is one of them. Like, well, that was really fun to host a podcast, but somebody else will enjoy that too. And I'm aware in our small businesses, our biggest risk and vulnerability that we have is key team member dependency.
Sure.
Starting with us as the business owner. And the first time I encountered that was when I had my second child. And by the way, I saw that you had Ron Saharian on and he talked about Profit First. So I want to tie this kind of back to that episode. By the way, I'm the very first Profit First professional, like a really cool designation.
You're number one.
I'm number one. And Mike McCallowitz shared Profit First with me years and years ago, kind of on the back of a napkin, when I was telling him, like, hey, my business is growing, but I'm never paying myself enough. And he said, well, let me show you something. And he took out his little pen and he started drawing Profit First. And I was kind of resistant at first. I was like, Mike, I don't know if I need all these bank accounts. And he said, just trust me, just try it. And so I tried it and I am so glad I implemented it because about 4 months later, I learned I was pregnant with my second child. And I got to thinking about, okay, the first time around when I had my first daughter, my business was brand new and it just consumed me. Even though I was only technically working 25 hours a week, I was thinking about it constantly. And I thought, okay, if my best team member came to me and told me she's pregnant, what would I want to do for her? And I mean, like immediately my answer was clear. Like I would want to give her a really long paid maternity leave. And that's when I realized that's what I wanted for myself. And so I had about 5 months to figure out how to get the business to run without me so that I could take that really long maternity leave. And I ended up taking 9 weeks off. The business kept growing and it kept paying me. And that was in part because of Profit First, but it was also because of delegation and putting systems in place. And I have learned that whenever we have these major unexpected life events, it forces us to do crazy things in our business that we would never consider.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to get a little heavy here, but this came full circle for me this past summer when my husband, love of my life, Ned, passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. It was like devastating. My heart was ripped out and my ability to function was zero. Like, there's nothing I could do to work.
3-day bereavement policy wasn't going to cut.
Yeah. No. And in that discussion about how much we give people for bereavement, the length of time, people need so much longer than what we allow, but that's a whole other topic. I called my team member, my key team member, the next morning to tell her what had happened. And all I could get out of my mouth was that he had passed. And I said, don't worry, I'm not going to let Tap the Potential go to the shitter. I had no idea how I was going to do that.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to let this happen, but I can't work and I don't know how this. So she already knew someone, a family member had already contacted our team and let them know. So they knew the night before and they had already put a plan in place for taking everything off of me so that I could be out for 6 weeks. I was out fully for 6 weeks. The business continued to run, continued to grow without me. And then when I came back, I was not at full capacity and I'm still not at full capacity. And so my whole point in this is that ironically, the day he passed, we had had a quarterly EOS team meeting where we were doing our planning for the quarter, identifying our rocks, looking at our VTO and our vision. And we were talking about, you know, over the next year, we really need to get the podcast off of me and we need to have Melissa hosting the podcast and we need these things to shift and these team members to take on these responsibilities. But we were thinking in terms of incremental, like we're going to do this slowly and nobody's going to get pushed too quickly out of their comfort zone and all that nice stuff. And what I'm continually struck by is how quickly that got put in place and runs successfully now because an outside life circumstance made it absolutely critical. And so when you listen to my TEDx talk, it's all about work supports life. One of the things that I talk about having no regrets when it comes to Ned, because last year for our anniversary, we went out to dinner and I asked Ned, when you're married, you're married, Robbie. So, you know, like you're always trying to keep it fresh and like to spice this up and make
We were just talking about it. We've 22 years coming up. Yeah. And,
So I said to Ned, relationship were at a 10, what would be going on? And by the way, if anybody wants to take that question and use it with your significant other, it's a great question. It opens up a really interesting discussion. I want to be really clear that there's a specific way you phrase it. You don't on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate our relationship? Because that is like asking, hey, does this dress make me look fat? Like, there's no good
answer you're allowed to ask. That's right.
So I didn't ask, how would you rate our relationship? I just said, if our relationship were at a 10, what would be going on? So Ned's reply to me was, I mean, it was immediate. And he said, well, more time together. And I thought, okay, let me think about this because, and I didn't say any of this, but this is what went through my mind. We both work from home. I work 25 hours a week. We travel together for conferences. We have weekly date nights. We're constantly doing things around the house together. So I was like, what? What do you mean more time together? And then, so I said, you know, the only thing that came out of my mouth next was, tell me more.
Tell me more. Yeah.
And so he said, let's take Friday afternoons off, just you and me, and we'll go play. And I thought, okay, that could be fun to start doing that. But then I immediately went to, but I work 25 hours a week already. So taking an additional full afternoon off, like, that's not easy. But I didn't say any of that to Ned. I just simply got to work on making it happen. And not only did I get to work on making it happen, I brought it back to my team. And I said, I have this intention that I want to do in the coming year, and I want to be able to take Friday afternoons off. And they immediately thought, you know, like, we can move this and we can move that. And it's totally, you can do it. So I made it happen. And I'm glad I did, because there's no regrets.
That's a very,
And one of the things that is really interesting about this is I believe that's what is good for the goose is good for the gander. And so if we are building this culture at Top the Potential where work can support my life, it has to be the same for my team members. Their work has to support their life. So we are intentional. In the last 6 months, we've really put a focus on no key team member dependency.
Mm-hmm.
We want everyone to have the freedom to be out sick and not come back to a pile of work, or not to feel like they have to bring their laptop and work in their bed. I take 4 week vacations once a year. We want all of our team members, especially longstanding team members, to have that opportunity. It's one of the biggest perks.
Yeah.
And when you do a 4 week vacation, it's not, I'm going to bring my laptop and check in once a week and make sure everything's going okay. It is like, we're out, we're unavailable. And there has to be a plan in place for how key responsibilities are managed by other team members.
Right.
Which, by the way, creates ongoing opportunities for advancement. Because the rule of thumb, when you come back from any period of vacation where you had to delegate before you were gone, you don't take back what you delegated.
Yeah, most of the time, that's exactly the experience we have is, you know, as you mentioned, either a life circumstance or an intentional one, whether that's maternity or some other issue. If you prepare for it appropriately, it actually, as you mentioned, empowers your team and all those.
Yeah.
Let me, because I don't want to, I feel like if you know, if you're one of the listeners who knows Dr. Sabrina's work, everything she said is right, to be clear. Everything she said is well-supported, documented. You know, when you're listening to a podcast or watching things online, people can make outlandish claims.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have a pile of skepticism. Sometimes we don't have time to go into the journal data. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hoping to do, what I want to do a little bit is there are two mentalities that I think often come up in this. And
mm-hmm.
Part of this may be, I don't really buy into this framework, but masculine versus feminine energy ideas. Cool. And
yeah,
like I grew up, I went to work when I was 13. I started working about 35, 40 hours a week when I was 13. I took off 3 days for my first kid's birth and only one for my second because, you know, I had it down by then. I'm very family focused. I have a big family. I love them all. I spend a lot of time. But, you know, I also, after a long, Monday's a holiday. We're recording this on Friday, January 17th. Monday's a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to want to come back to work on Tuesday, Lord, so I can get a break. so I can relax. So I can, oh my God.
Work is a controlling environment.
I'm a 3-year-old. I don't, Lord, more 25 hours a week. That's only, you can't do that to me.
Yeah, I know.
And like I said, I've spent my whole life that way. And a lot of the entrepreneurs that I work with, and even I would say, you know, business owners, they have the idea of a lifestyle business. Some people can mm-hmm. have that.
Mm-hmm.
CEOs, if you're running a 150 person law firm, you started as a 1L, working 75 hours billable a week.
Yeah.
It's not that it doesn't appeal to them and they're like, well, that's for some people. It's when they think about that in their business, they go, I'm not running a podcast or a coaching company. Okay.
Yeah.
I run a law firm. Yeah. If I'm not here at 6 a.m. and out at 8 p.m. and take the call at 1 a.m. from my client in China, It ain't going to happen. This does require work. Mm-hmm. And work-life balance means enjoying my work and taking care of my family. But they don't need me there. But they're good. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to someone with that mentality?
So first off, that's the mentality I was raised with.
Right.
Third generation entrepreneur. And like I had to undo so much in my life, Rami.
Hearing like, that, you're like, it's like talking to Grandpappy, right? Like, he's like, it don't work. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. So when I was in graduate school, I carried a full course load. I did a practicum. I wrote my dissertation. I was the one who wrote my dissertation early. Usually people
nice.
ABD,
yeah,
like
ABD.
Full dissertation.
Yep.
I had it done before I went on internship. So I was doing all that and I worked part-time job. I was working my tail off and my mind was constantly going. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night and think about what am I missing? I'm forgetting something,
yes.
And so I was just this hot mess of anxiety. And when I got out of graduate school, one of the first things after I graduated and I had a little bit of space before I started my first job, and I just remember laying in bed going, oh, I have a body. Like I haven't noticed. And
that's
I was
right.
definitely ill, by the way.
This carries my brain around. That's all my body is. Yeah.
Yeah. I had this massive cold and like fever. And so I was laying in bed and I was like, oh, this is what my body feels like. And so I've had a long journey of undoing all of this. And it really was when I was in a yoga class. And they talked about breathing. And I was like, breathing, why do we have to breathe? Like, I do that all the time. And and they said, no, take a deep breath and hold it and let it out. And then there's this pause when you let your breath out before you take your next breath.
Mm-hmm.
And when you let yourself feel that pause, it's very relaxing. Like, wow. And to me, that was like, oh, my gosh, there is a pause in life. I had never appreciated that we could pause. And so I started just exploring, like, what does a pause look like? And, you know, taking time off and what, it's not so much what happens when I take the time off, it's what does it allow me to do when I get back?
Right.
So when I take these 4-week vacations and I totally unplug, the ideas and the clarity that I come back with is priceless. And my team members tell me this too. One of my team members just took 2 weeks off, fully unplugged. And that was the first time I think she's ever done that. And there were certain things that she was working on our delivery that were overly complicated and taking up too much team time. And she was trying to figure out, how do we make this simple? And she came back and she said, it was just like, boom, it's right there. The answer is right there. But she had been working on it for 2 months prior to that. And so my answer to, you know, somebody who says it's got to be fast and
full and grind, yeah.
we gotta is, what is that costing? Like, you think you're succeeding because of it, but how much more success would you have if you stopped to think?
So do you think do you think a culture, a team philosophy, or even a personal philosophy of work-life balance broadly, however that's defined, maybe that's a 35-hour work week, maybe a 25-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
I worked 45 hours a week. I think my wife would go, what are you doing? But something like that. Some balance with more time for pause will actually net profit at the bottom.
Oh.
Outperform
totally.
The hustle. That's what it comes down to. Every morning I wake up, I'm an early guy, I wake up at 5 a.m., I have an hour and a half long morning routine. I work out, I journal, I meditate. I even do the silly affirmations, though. Dang.
Me too, Rami.
I've been doing affirmations since The Miracle Morning came out like 13 years ago, and it's the same, you know, 4 paragraphs. At this point, I don't even need to read them. I just sit there and mutter them. My wife wakes up, goes get a cup of coffee. She's walking by my office. She's like, oh, he is in there. I spend that hour and a half, and that to me is my break, but the only reason I'm able to do it is because I say it's highly productive break.
It is.
And it makes me better when I come to work.
Yes. Yes.
But every minute of it is, to a degree, it's hard to carve out. And I often, like if I ever skip, you know, I don't want to go to the gym today. I'm here. It just means I'm at the computer at 5:05 a.m.
Yeah.
To get to work.
Yeah.
You would advise me.
So here's the deal. And you say this all the time, like, our people are our greatest investment.
That's right.
We are our greatest investment. And so what is so ironic to me about We Successful People is we will invest in ourselves all over the place. We'll sign up for trainings, conferences, like, we are investing in ourselves. But when it comes to doing the simple things that just make us better human beings on a daily basis, we're like, you know, I got time. I'll go to the gym next week. I'm going to jump out on having lunch with my friend because I'm too busy. And so we are constantly shortchanging that investment in ourselves on a daily basis. I am a much better human being because I journaled. I did my 3 pages. I did my affirmations. Yep. I did yoga. I meditated. Like, I had to do a lot to be here and be good, Rami.
That's right. That's exactly it. Don't.
Because if you would have gotten me, who just rolled out of bed, took a shower, fed my kids, got myself a little food, and then showed up here on the podcast with you, this would be a whole different conversation. And this is every day. Our team deserves the best of us. Our clients deserve the best of us. Our family deserve the best of us. And so I have the work supports life. Like, there's 3 simple steps. When I did the TEDx talk, I had to have 3 simple steps. So I've got my simple steps to work supports life. And that is to have a set time to stop work each day. Like, even though you can work till 10 o'clock at night, have a set time. And even better, have some accountability. Like, if you have kids and you have to take them someplace, that's the best accountability. Yeah. But if you don't have that, find a gym buddy or somebody that you have to meet at a certain time. And if you don't, you're letting them down.
Yeah.
So stop work. Fully unplug in the evenings after work. I put my phone on silent. Sometimes I put it in the other room so that my family knows that I am present and connecting with them. That's the first step. The second step is to take weekends off and fully unplug on the weekends, because that is your opportunity. So you're recharging every night, but you are fully recharging on the weekends. And then in your fully unplugged time, intentionally create experiences with your loved ones. That's what it comes down to. Fully unplugging is the best antidote to burnout. In all the research that I've done, and by the way, 9 out of 10 entrepreneurs is burning out, according to our research. And the best antidote to burnout is fully unplugging. The best way to regret-proof your life is in your fully unplugged time. Be intentional with your loved ones to create experiences. And Ned, one of the things that I never understood, like, how does he do this? We both work from home. So, you know, we walk into our offices and interrupt ourselves multiple times a day. And I would walk into his office and he would just stop whatever he was doing. And I mean, full attention. And no matter how much time I needed, and I saw him doing that with our kids repeatedly, multiple times a day, and his team members would call him, he would stop what he was doing. He never put time pressure on, like, oh my gosh, I have this deadline. I can only talk to you for 10 minutes. That would never come out of his mouth. Now, when he would walk in and interrupt me, she always said, you give this vibe.
Wait. I have to finish this. Don't talk to me yet.
Well, you know, so I would stop. I would make my note of where I was, leave my little breadcrumb trail. I would stop and he'd get my full attention, but he could see me start getting jittery after about 4 minutes. Cause I was like, come on, I got this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have learned from Ned that the greatest gift we can give another human being is our emotional presence. That's it. We are not emotionally present when we've got our phones and we're, you know, this important call, let me take this and I'll talk to you. That's not emotional presence. That totally shifts the nature of the conversation. It keeps the conversation at a very surface level. And I'm talking about with your direct reports, your team members, colleagues, clients, and your family. If you want to have deep, meaningful relationships with people in your life, put your phone away and be fully present. And so my thing I'm working on is, how can I be more like Ned? Like, I want to be, when somebody shows up and they need something from me, I want them to feel like, I'm here. You got me.
That's amazing. Dr. Sabrina, thank you so much for your time. Let me do a couple little recaps that I'm thinking about. One, your three steps. Have an end time. This is something in our company that we used to have when we were all in an office. This actually is something that my director of operations and I and marketing director were actually talking about this not a month ago, which is we had these hard deadlines. Banks close at X. We have to have the payroll out by then. We had to get checks because we printed checks. Someone had to go drive them before the mailing cutoff. And we were in an office that was a very secure environment because of that. And when we closed at 5:30, it was everybody's out the door, locked. We won't, you know, I was the first one in and the last one out, literally. If not me, it would have been Liz. If not her, it would have been one of our key employees. But it's like, if you're the one in charge today, no one's in here unless you're here.
Yeah.
It ended our work. Work from home, COVID. And it blew me, the number of people. I get a message at 8:30 on a Friday night. What are you doing? And it's not my action, but as you grow and scale, your culture is the intentional result. It is the result of the people that you have put in charge. And a lot of times we promote. Look, the A players, they're going to work themselves to death. Just like you as an entrepreneur. And we actually went through a kind of a phase about a year ago where we got lots of people who were like we had some Glassdoor reviews that was like lots of overtime work. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
We don't
ask anybody to do overtime. And then I went and looked down and, you know, we're about 40 employees now. It's not even that big, but it's enough that it can get out of hand quickly.
Yes.
And I went and looked and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The average person is working till 7.
Whoa. Yeah. But
the directors and I are sitting in a meeting hanging out for an hour of it because we love it. But that's putting a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Have an end time.
Yes.
Have your weekends. And emotionally connect by not multitasking effectively. Those were your three.
Be intentional. Experiences.
Create experiences. That's right.
Yeah.
With those. That's something there's a lot of talk about like wives take on the emotional labor of managing social networks and households. Liz and I've talked about that because my own siblings call her to say, hey, let's get Rami. We want to do a sibling meetup. And she's like, I'll put it on his calendar.
Yeah.
I'll go. But she has to take a lot of that labor or she chooses to take a lot of that labor. And so it's something I need to work on too.
Well, and intentionally creating emotional experiences does not have to be huge. So an example is I have a vivid memory of on a Friday afternoon walking through the garden shop with Ned and thinking to myself, I am the luckiest woman in the world. Like here, my husband is with me buying plants and flowers. And not only is he buying them, he's telling me to buy more. Like that
on a Friday
afternoon experience. And so it didn't have to be a big thing. Like we would go have dinner somewhere. And now I walk into those restaurants and I immediately remember those dinners and those conversations. So it's not like you have to be planning this big trip to Cabo and, you know, just simple.
Look, Cabo's cool. And besides those three primary takeaways, check out your TED Talk, which we'll link below, which goes into great depth. I love that TED Talk.
Thank you.
46,000 views.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. It's only been out a month. It's crazy.
Yeah. And our $10,000 an hour, your $10,000 an hour list so that you as an executive can work and think about structuring that. If you all want more information about this, of course, there are the downloads below. You can book time with me if you're a US-based business with more than 10 employees. You get a 30-minute free consult. Of course, reach out to Dr. Sabrina as well at Tap Potential, and we will have her links below to social media. Dr. Sabrina, thank you for spending the time, but also the focus and the emotional connection.
Absolutely.
It's a different kind of vulnerability and depth. And I hope, I know I appreciate it. I hope our listeners do too.
Absolutely. And I just want to encourage your listeners to take you up on booking that time with you. It's incredibly generous for you to be offering these consults. And I've had consults with you, and you are a wealth of knowledge. So now that you're going to be even more emotionally present on these consults, Rami, like, wow, why would anybody pass that opportunity up?
I'll try. I'm a scared boy, but I will try to bear my heart as well. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sabrina. Thank you, all listeners. Now it's time for you to go out there. Have a great day and get your work done.